Planning Commission held their public hearings on April 6th. They received comments from DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. The applicant was present and gave a presentation. There were no parties that appeared in support of or in opposition to the application. Mr. Smith stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1646 for Carolyn De Silva based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the nature of the business is of semi-public nature that will be beneficial to the general welfare of the county. Two, this recommendation of approval is subject to the following conditions. A, the hours of operation shall be limited to 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., 7 days per week. B, only one illuminated sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side may be permitted on the site. C, no employees other than the applicant shall be permitted. D, no public auctions shall be permitted on the site. E, there shall be no dumpster on the site. F, there shall be no outside storage or displays permitted. And the last one, the site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion by Mr. Smith, seconded by Mr. Gordy, and carried unanimously to forward this application to the council with the recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 5-0. The applicant submitted some photographs of the site, and as of this day, we've not received any additional correspondence.
Ms. De Silva, are you present?
Carolyn De Silva, 16.
State your name and your address first. Were you doing that?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't hear you.
Well, I haven't changed address that quickly. Carolyn De Silva, 16976 Seashore Highway, Georgetown, Delaware. And I would like to be able to operate in an antique and small gift business at my location. I have two separate outbuildings, which the business would be conducted out of. There would be no changes, no additional buildings or changes in road, changes in parking. I have plenty.
Do you plan to live in the dwelling?
I live in a dwelling that is on that property. Okay. The antique shop would be in two separate buildings.
Outbuildings?
Yes.
You heard Mr. Abbott read the conditions. Are those conditions you agree to and can live with?
Yes, with the exception of one, and that is I have had several requests from numbers of people to do appraisals and lectures, and some of those might be held in the evening due to their, you know, business constraints. If they're working, they can't attend appraisal sessions.
So that would be lectures. Would that happen in the dwelling?
Yes. If it were summertime, it probably would be in the gazebo area or my living room.
So is that educational?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, how many people would you expect at something like that?
20 to 25.
Oh, really? Okay.
Do you have parking for that many cars?
Not specifically marked parking, but there's area, plenty of area there for them to park.
Should it be designated? Shane, does it have to be designated?
Well, on the site plan, the parking be based one space per 200 square feet. Perfect. Of retail area. I'm familiar
that
with
wouldn't
the site
be.
Nurse.
That wouldn't be very much parking with just the garage and a shed, would it?
No.
Behind the two outbuildings is like a half an acre.
I don't believe it. I just guess.
Their only concern is that if you have a meeting or seminar or something like that, that you have a designated area for parking that view.
I would like that too.
That really wasn't part of the application though, was it, Mr. Abbott?
No, it wasn't, because I wasn't aware at the time that there was a public demand for this.
Could you go to a local church possibly and hold them in their like hall, and then wouldn't have to have that encumber your application here today? Is that a possibility? If you're gonna have 20, 25 people, that seems like a lot to have parking on this site for that.
Actually, I don't think at this stage of the game the application could be amended to broaden it. That would have had to be done 72 hours before the commission hearing.
Understood.
Oh, okay.
So we're not even discussing that in this. Okay.
You don't need to.
You may have to find a local church.
Or come back for a modification.
Yeah, ask for a modification of the commission.
Or just this.
Right.
Okay.
That's cool. Yeah, you heard the conditions that the planning zoning?
Yes. Would he read them again, please?
Shane?
We can let you see them right here.
There you go.
Extra copy.
They're A through G.
To share a copy with the applicant.
Are there any other restrictions with the illuminated signs, such as how many feet from the edge of the highway?
Five-foot setback.
Five-foot setback.
For a property line.
From
property
the
line.
Property line, yeah, okay. It's fine to me.
All right, okay, that's cool.
We need to see if there's anyone else present concerning your application. Is there anyone else present concerning this application who would like to be heard either in support of or in opposition to the application? Let the record show that no one else has to be recognized. We'll close the public hearing. It's your pleasure, gentlemen.
Read title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a small business selling antiques and gifts to be located on certain parcels of land, Manning Oak 100, containing 1.49 acres.
I make a motion that we approve CU 1646. And being we're not numbered them, we got with conditions, recommended conditions of A through G as stated in P&Z's meeting.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Jones, second Mr. Cole to approve conditional use number 1646, that of Carolyn A. Sleva, with conditions as set forth by Planning and Zoning Commission A to G. Questions? Call for the vote, Mr. Cole.
Yes, with the conditions.
Yes, with
conditions. Mr. Jones?
Yes, with the conditions as P&Z.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes, with the conditions.
I'm going to adjust the conditions. Motion passed. Next case, conditional use number 1647.
Okay.
BDP
yes,
Investments
ma'am.
LLC.
I submitted an original survey, which they requested. How do I get my original survey back?
You won't.
Who? Call the surveyor.
Call the surveyor.
You'd have to get a surveyor. He could give you another copy.
I can give you this copy if you'd like that.
Sorry.
But if you contact Mr. Simpler, he can easily run you another copy and sign it and seal it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the easiest way.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Next case, conditional use number 1647, BDP Investments, LLC. Mr. Abbott.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for a warehouse facility to be located on a certain parcel of land line and being in Nanticoke 100, Sussex County, containing 10 acres more or less, lying southeast of Route 9, 960 feet southwest of Route 329 and Route 46. This public hearing was also held April the 6th. The applicant's attorney submitted an exhibit booklet. I'll pass that down. Apparently, the Planning Commission members kept their copies. The commission received comments from DelDOT, Sussex Conservation District, the Department of Natural Resources. The applicants and their attorney were present. There was no one that was present in support of the application. There was an attorney representing Ronald and Melissa Williamson, Robert Turpin, Jeff Clausen, Virginia Williams, and Phyllis Waterman were present, and they spoke in opposition. There was a motion by Mr. Gordy, seconded by Mr. Smith, and carried unanimously to defer action for further consideration. The applicant submitted a brochure of their product, and the opposition submitted some photographs that I'll pass down for your review. And we've not received any additional information.
Okay, Mr. Griffith.
Is the applicant present or represented? Mr. Willard.
Can you include that?
Tell me yes.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Tim Willard with Fuqua and Yuri here in Georgetown, representing the applicant and for this conditional use. And if I heard, did I hear Mr. Abbott correctly that nobody has any books? Or there's one. I see Mr. Dukes has one.
That's it. We're passing one around.
That's fine. Council,
are you on a budget?
Mr. Fuqua, you know, he keeps me on a tight rein, but I thought we submitted 12, and in fact, keep moving. All right. I got a book that I'll pass up when I'm done, but I just need it for purpose of the presentation. I represent BDP, the applicant. They're also, they own the property, which is 10 acres right west of Old Furnace Road on Route 9. Behind me is Victor Batista. He's a principal in Delmarva Insulation. He's also a principal in BDP, the applicant, who owns the property. In light of Mr. Cole's discussion earlier, the other principals in BDP are two other individuals. One is Robert DeVere, and the other is Gerald Palmer. So they're the equity owners in BDP that owns the property. And just why I'm on that subject, because I was interested in the dialogue, I think the Senator from Wilmington introduced legislation for disclosure in property applications in the General Assembly, if you do any research on it. And I was working at the Senate at the time, but I don't know where it went or whether it was passed, but there was a lot of debate on that subject. The applicant today is asking for a conditional use application so that they can operate their warehousing insulation business on this 10 acres of property located just west of Georgetown. Especially in light of some of the energy concerns going on in this state and around the nation today, I must say I'm pleased to represent this applicant whose job it is to insulate houses and make them more energy efficient. In fact, they deal with audits, and Mr. Batista is currently being trained to be certified to sign off on energy efficiency for homes. For purposes of this application, you also should be aware that not only do they do a large amount of residential homes, that they do chicken houses too. And they're currently negotiating a contract to perhaps do to two chicken houses a month. That is significant because we are in a low density area. We are asking for a conditional use that I think helps services the agricultural industry. I'm going to talk about the area and then some of the other government comments. And there has been some opposition concern that I'm going to address. First of all, if you do have my booklet, you can see where the property is located. It's just on the south side of Route 9, about 900 feet west of Old Furnace Road. I submitted also for the record a tax map, which shows the property highlighted. There's B1 down the corner, which is known right at Old Furnace. I believe it's a conditional use was confirmed. That's where that sporting goods store that's been not operating for a while was Smith's Restaurant. I think Mr. Lank or somebody indicated that they had been granted a conditional use. We submit to you that this area is somewhat mixed. There's residential, there's that B1, there's a conditional use at the corner for a sporting goods store. If you look at my tab 2 in the booklet, picture 1 shows the property itself looking towards Georgetown on the right-hand side. It is not being farmed, so this would not displace any farmed land. As you'll see on a later survey, the front portion of the property is vacant, is treeless, and then in the back there are trees, so there shouldn't be too many trees removed. You can see on picture 2 the bank's sporting good property, which is just down the street at the intersection. On the same side of the road, picture 5 and 6 depicts a property that looks like it was once upon a time used for a gas station. There's a manufactured home there and storage, if you can see the property. Right next to that is the Williamson property, and Mrs. Williamson is here, and it's a nicely kept residential home right next to that. There's a church next to the property that I showed you that has a trailer and warehouse, and that's got a parking lot. Down the street, as you all well know, is Sussex Tech, as well as the university. I think what perhaps is most significant is on either side of this 10 acres, on the one side to the west, to the east, is a rental property where it's a residential home where some employees actually live that work for Delmarva Insulation. On the other side of the property is a firing range and a small arms dealer. And I believe, I'm not sure what his status is, Mr. Davis has his sign out there. If you look at the picture submitted, you can see the sign. It's actually picture number 3. Behind that, you see the big bank of earth. And there was testimony at Planning and Zoning that they hear some firing. It doesn't concern the neighbors, although it still appears active. DelDOT recommended no TIS. That's tab 3. The applicant has gone to DENREC and has been publicly noticed to do an on-site septic system. That has been approved. And if you can see by the survey, this is the front of the road. There's the tree line. And that there's more than ample septic system to be serviced back here. And there's less trees back here, so it probably wouldn't disrupt that. And this is all agricultural over there. So they have sewer. DelDOT does not have a problem. Obviously, if they did get this, they'd have to do site plan and get an entrance permit. Now, there were an earlier site plan that was submitted, and then one that was updated in advance of planning and zoning. And I just want to make sure if you are looking at the larger one, you have that site plan. The site plan calls for 2 warehouses of 9,600 square feet. One thing that was mentioned, I think it was by Chairman Wheatley, that would we have an objection to add a condition to designate the area in here as the conditional use so you don't have the whole area. I think we'd have to stick to the site plan, whatever it is. But if the council wanted to cut it off just parallel with this 52 line, that would be fine. I say that because there was some discussion maybe backing it up off the road a little bit so we could do more landscaping and park. And that wouldn't be a problem. There's plenty of land to do this. There's 10 acres. The septic will be down here. What they want, and currently Delmarva Insulation's operating that side of Georgetown. You may have seen it in those 2 yellow warehouses north of Route 9. They have these box trucks. How big are the trucks?
16-foot box.
That was Mr. So they're 16-foot. They're not real large trucks, but they're box trucks. They carry the bag and insulation. It's kind of interesting, and you know, this is a success story, really. When Mr. Batista started this company, he didn't purchase it. Started it was 2 trucks, had like 4 employees. Now they're 24 trucks and 60 employees. Most of them go out to the sites, do the jobs, and they're approximately 5 employees. And I don't know. Did I introduce Mr. Towers? Ken Towers is one of his key employees. But there are 5 on site. These 2 are on the road a lot. So the parking in the front will mainly be for the 5 employees. They do no retail business there. What the operation involves is a delivery of product in a larger truck, like a tractor trailer, might be once a day, not on weekends, usually maybe mid-morning or in the morning. The product that's delivered is bagged insulation, and it comes to the site bag and it leaves the site bag. We've indicated in our conditions, and it's part of our proposal, there will be no storage outside of the warehouses, and there's no storage of any hazardous material. Other than the insulation, the bagged insulation that they use, there may be some storage of some of the hardware and things like that go along with the insulation of the product. But it's a fairly clean operation. It comes in bag, it goes out bag. As a condition we've indicated, proposed to you, is there'll be no manufacturing processing of anything on the plant. So what's happening, it truly is a warehousing operation, but for the fact
that it is also sort of a terminal for where they pick up their stuff and leave. So the majority of that activity is early in the morning. We've proposed after 6 o'clock in the morning, the trucks would arrive. The employees that arrive usually carpool, because some of them are family members, they live next to each other, so you won't have 60 cars there, although we do have 60 spaces. A lot of these back here would be reserved for the trucks. They arrive, they leave. We're hoping, or generally not hoping, they leave fairly early. I know Ms. Williamson and some other neighbors had some concern about school buses and things like that, but this kind of activity would be on the early wave of traffic as opposed to the 7:38 school bus activity generally. And then they come back in different measure, that is, they trickle back depending on finishing jobs early. They're all at different jobs. So that's the traffic activity as far as it's concerned. The loading would be all behind here and here. The firing range is over here. And talking to Mr. Tarburton, was the lawyer mentioned to represent Mrs. Williamson at Planning and Zoning. He's not here today. We actually had a very good dialogue before that hearing, and we proposed putting a fence or a boundary up here, and that's where you see install privacy fence, and have no objection to that, to address the Williamson's concern. Mr. Batista chose this property because it's centrally located. He does 75% of his business in Seaford, in the east part of the county. Milford goes up to Wilmington occasionally, but the lion's share is here in Sussex, and he's done quite well. It's on somewhat of a major thoroughfare where there's a relatively newly installed traffic light down here. It's on a straightaway, which we think lends some benefit as far as safety is concerned. I have indicated or included in my package proposed conditions, which are some of the boilerplate ones, that is, be subject to final site plan, will comply with all DLDOT entry permits, comply with DENREC on waste site wastewater treatment approvals, and we've already gone a long way to getting those approvals. In fact, have the approval, but they haven't engineered it. All parking from company trucks shall be in the rear of the property. There shall be one lighted sign roadside and one affixed to the warehouse building. All storage shall be within the warehouse building, and there shall be no manufacturing or processing of material on the property. All loading shall be in the rear of the warehouse building. The hours of operation shall be Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Parking lighting shall be directed only onto the property if necessary. A buffer or fence shall be erected on the west side of the property, and appropriate landscaping shall be planted along Route 9. I've indicated that if you want to designate just the front portion of the conditional use, obviously we have no objection to that. If we get the conditional use and submit a site plan for approval, we may shift this back a bit to do more landscaping. The drive is proposed along there.
Mr. Willard.
Yes, sir.
Why, where it says install privacy fence, mm-hmm. is that lot that's labeled lot number one, is that owned by your client or is that owned by the Williamsons?
No, I think this is Mrs. Williamson. This lot is not owned by BDP.
Williamson, it's not right next to me. It's two lots over.
But I think Mr. Griffin's question. Come on up here, Victor, so you can identify yourself and your address.
My name is Victor Batista. My address is 16690 Woodland Court in Bridgeville, Delaware.
If I may, Mr. Griffin, I think his question was, and I indicated that there's a residence on this property.
Well, the total acreage is shown as 13.5, but there's 10 acres involved here, and I wondered if that lot one is the other 3.5.
Yes, sir.
And so you all own that?
No, sir.
Okay.
It was subdivided at the time I purchased this. They subdivided it, and I only purchased 10 of the 13.
Okay.
So this is just the applicant's property.
Okay.
And at last I knew, at least 3 weeks ago, there was a tenant there that was actually
yes.
working for the company.
That's correct.
Okay.
So there is a dwelling on that.
Yeah, and I don't think I got a good picture of it.
Doesn't
do much good anyway because you don't have a book. But
I got a question. Where you got two buildings, two warehouses on there. The applicant proposes to use all that space for himself, or does he propose to rent out some of that space?
It's just proposed for Delmarva insulation.
So there's no tenants?
No, sir. Right now I'm renting space.
Insulation's bulky, so you need a lot of room to store it. Right now I have 4 units out here on Route 9, 2 more here in the town of Georgetown, and I got 10,000 square feet that I'm leasing over in C for just to house the material that I'm needing on a regular basis.
Okay.
All right. And you know, you're all in a better position to know this than I, but they've been out on Route 9 here, disclosed in there, is that the right word, but out there, and there have been no complaints or anything. They run a pretty
if, okay, this is a largely a, it's not in the development district. It's also in a, you know, the agricultural district, which there are buildings of this size that look like barns or something. Is it a possibility that they could use some architectural guidelines to make the buildings have an agricultural appearance, like a barn-like appearance, possibly? Is that a possibility? Because these would stick out like sore thumbs and set a bad precedent for
I would not see a problem with that at all. We were looking to, when the front of the buildings and so forth, to do some type of stone veneer, drive it in, something to dress up the front of the building so you just are not looking at a metal building stretched across the road. We were going to do some architectural things across the front.
But you would be, I'm just
aesthetically
concerned,
to make
well,
it aesthetically
I saw something
sound.
Here said about there was concern about it being out of character. So you wouldn't have any problem bringing it into the appearance being of character.
How about a Gambrielle barn?
I have no problem.
Okay, all right, just curious. All right. And we shouldn't have any problem addressing that, Mr. Griffin, in a condition?
If you impose that as a condition, you... In the past, you've required that doctor's
okay,
office,
right.
For instance, have a residential appearance.
Right. Okay. And then the Planning and Zoning Commission would determine if it was agricultural in appearance and sufficient.
You'd have to give enough guidelines that they'd know what you're trying to achieve.
I think
cows grazing around it. Is that a possibility?
Well, probably the best example.
Okay.
Gambia roof, is that what it's called?
Yeah, it looks like a
barn roof.
Like they did at the sewer
transfer
thing.
Station.
Yeah. Barn-like.
Maybe put some like the Amish sign on the side of it.
Kind of make it look like your house.
You haven't seen my house.
Barn-like.
Animal house.
Have you concluded, sir?
Right.
Let me just address the opposition. I think I've covered it in my application. Mr. Tarburton was here, and I say we did have a... In fact, I don't think... Yeah, he wrote Sussex County Planning Office a letter and indicated the applicant is aware of our opposition referring to us and has graciously offered to adjust its application to include a privacy fence and other accommodations for us. And I just highlight that because you don't see that too much from the opposition. Mrs. Williamson has a very nice home. It's not too far from here. In fact, it's one lot away. We respect her concerns and her issues, and we've tried to address them somewhat. We know we're not going to solve all of them. She indicated she would not have opposition to this property being developed, and if it was in fact subdivided, it arguably a more intensive use like on weekends and 24 hours a day as far as traffic. And otherwise, we've tried to address her concerns by putting the parking in the back, and the history of this operation shows that it's been run rather professionally and successfully. So,
You spoke about running that back line across even with the back line of lot 1.
Yeah, 5240 East.
Okay.
And if you just
if you did that, do you know what the acreage would be that would be enclosed?
I would just guess. If you made it a condition, the site plan would
just follow that course
yeah.
Magnetic bearing.
Yes.
Let's see if there's anyone else here. Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard concerning this application? Yes, ma'am. Would you come forward?
Hello, I'm Mrs. Williamson. I just wanted to, there are a few concerns that I still have. I'm really concerned about property value, especially for myself and for my neighbors. He mentioned that there would be 40 to 47 trucks entering and exiting. If I was a potential home buyer, I would not want to buy a property near that. My son gets on the bus at 6:40. So do my neighbor's children. This entrance and exit is within 400 feet of where they get on the bus. So I'm very concerned about that also. It's very close to where they get on the bus. Another thing is the noise. I mean, they're coming in, they're loading at 6 in the morning. That is early. I know it's not on the weekend, but, you know, I work at the hospital. My husband works at the electric company. We do get vacations and, you know, things like that. The two businesses at the corner that he talked about, Mr. Morris has a well drilling business there. My in-laws owned that before. It was a country store, so it's been there for years. The Banks's has been there for years. I remember when Chicken Darling sold that, and he took that over as a sporting goods. So I think that's been there for close to 20 some years also as a business. All the other houses going up around there are very nice residential houses. So I'm hoping that you'll take our concerns into consideration. The other thing that I wanted to add one more thing, I would just ask that you please, you being a homeowner also, if you would want this type of business next to you, it's a very large business with large vehicles going in and out. And I just feel that this is, Mr. Morris had tried to put a car lot where he put two nice houses because he was turned down to put that there. And I just feel that the residential area would grow. So, but that's,
you live right on the very corner.
You
live in the corner, right?
Yeah, I live right here.
Okay.
Is this your house?
That's my house.
Right.
And the other houses that Mr. Morris, he put up, I live right down from the lake. It's not very far. And these are the houses that have just come into the area. Mr. Clausen couldn't be here today. He owns one of those nice houses up there. These are all the houses, the type of houses that are going up in our area and on Asbury Road, too. So I think, it, you know, for a development or houses in that area, Mr. Potista, you know, if he wanted to do something like that, the neighbors would have no problems with that.
So you're saying it's your contention that this could curtail, if this was approved, it'll curtail maybe further residential development that has been occurring recently. So you're saying the trend has been for,
that's correct,
for new homes coming in the area,
that's
and families and stuff like that. Okay,
yeah.
I understand.
And Mr. Morris, he said it was actually the best thing that happened, you know, getting turned down for the car lot because he put the houses in there, and he said they sold very quickly.
Okay.
So I just hope that you take that into consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Anyone else wish to be heard regarding this application? That will complete the public hearing. Commission deferred. What's your pleasure?
We can't do anything. We got to defer.
Okay. Entertain a motion, gentlemen.
It's on for Thursday night for your information.
Entertain a motion. Mr. Cole?
I'll make the motion that we defer.
There's a motion to defer. Conditional use number 1647BDP, that's Boy David Paul Investments LLC. Motion by Mr. Cole, second by. Second by Mr. Phillips to defer action today because Planning and Zoning Commission has not acted as of yet. Questions? Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
My vote is yes. Conditional use number 1648, Terry L. Martin. Mr. Abbott.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for retail sales of birds, supplies, and related items to be located on a certain parcel of land line and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.17 acres more or less, lying south of Route 9, a half a mile east of Route 5 at Harbison. The commission held their public hearing on April the 6th. They received comments from DelDOT, the Sussex Conservation District. The applicants were present and gave a presentation. There was no one present in support of or in opposition to this application. Mr. Johnson stated that he would move that the commission recommend approval of CU 1648 for Terry L. Martin to operate retail sales of birds, supplies, and related items and services to birds based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is generally similar to other uses in the vicinity of the property. Two, the projects with the conditions and stipulations placed upon it will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Three, the operation of retail sales of birds and related items and services will not generate a significant increase in traffic or noise. Four, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there will only be one illuminated sign on the premises that shall not exceed 32 square feet on each side. Any security light shall only be installed on the building and shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or towards Route 9. No outside storage shall be allowed on the premises. The hours of operation for the business on this site shall be limited to 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. 7 days per week. There shall be no unrelated sales on the site, such as barbecues. The 6 foot or the 6 cubic yard dumpster shall be screened from Route 9 and neighboring properties. And the last one, the site plan shall be subject to the approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. Now, there was a motion by Mr. Johnson that was seconded by Mr. Burton and carried unanimously to forward this application to the County Council. The recommendation that it be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 5-0. We've not received any additional correspondence, but I would add that there was a conditional use approved by the council on September 11th, 1990. That was for an antique and stained glass shop. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
Was it ever used for antique and stained glass?
I'm not sure, Mr. Griffith.
So when the applicant built the current building, she was not aware that she needed to modify that change of conditional use? Ms. Martin, would you please come forward?
My name is Terry Martin. I live at 26772 Lewis Georgetown Highway, Harbison, 19951. No, sir, I was not aware that the conditional use that I had. When I came and asked the nice ladies, they told me I already had one, and I didn't realize that retail business is a retail business, that I had to have a specific one to birds, so I have to ask forgiveness.
How long have you been there? You've been there a while, huh?
4 years.
Here I say, it's quite a large business, kind of interesting. Did you listen to what Mr. Abbott read for you for conditions?
Yes.
Because at the present time, I'm quite familiar with that road because I'm out there a lot, that the yard and your building and your sign out there, I've done no work for her, so let the record show that, but the previous owner had a sign out there that was 140 square feet probably, and they're telling you can only have 32 square feet. I mean, if you want to object to that, you need to do that now because you have your building's all lettered, and I didn't do that. But it's rather large. It's over 100 square. It's 100 square feet on the building now. So if you disagree with what they put in their condition, you need to say it now that you don't agree with that condition of only 32 square feet, which is a piece of plywood. And everything around you is huge because that is commercial, basically from Harbison Light all the way down to the donut shop.
Yes, I would like to object to that condition and ask that it be approved for a larger sign.
Whatever commercial district allows it, I'd ask.
She still has to go to the board.
If it exceeds 100 square feet.
If you don't put a stipulation on the size of the ground sign, she would be permitted what's allowed in the B1 up to 150 square feet.
Correct, and that's what you need to ask her about. You already got that now, so you need to ask for it here.
So it would just say there would be only one illuminated sign on the premises, period?
Freestanding, according to the B1 ordinance.
You don't stipulate the square footage, she can go up to 150.
Okay.
For B1 district, which is all the way around you, and you pretty near got it now.
With that modification, is there Can you live with the rest of the conditions?
Yes.
Any questions of Ms. Martin, gentlemen?
She understands everything that Mr. Abbott read to her.
Let's see if there's anyone else here. I can see there's not.
Now, come on.
Maybe.
You want to say something?
Just a minute, a bus pulled up. A bunch of people are getting on.
Is there anything else you would like to add, Ms. Martin?
What do I need to do to the dumpster?
Well, it says there shall, you have a dumpster, and it says, what does it say?
Grab it.
Screened.
Screened.
But where is it? It's not out front, is it?
Shall be screened from Route 9 and neighboring properties. Where is it now?
On the building, isn't it?
It's beside the building right now.
The day one of the commission members and I went out there, I think.
You would need to move it.
To the left of the building.
Yes.
You'd probably need to move it either behind the building or build some sort of fencing around it.
She has to go back in front of for a site plan approval, so they're just going to designate where the dumpster has to be.
That'll be worked out at the site plan.
Yeah, I mean, it just... And then you'll have to put a screening up or something, just so it's, they gotta see. Okay. Lattice work or something.
Okay. If you finish, we'll go ahead and finish. Is there anyone else here who wishes to be heard regarding this application? Let the record show that no one else asked to be recognized. We'll close the hearing. Do you wish me to read the ordinance?
Title.
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for retail sales of birds, supplies, and related items to be located in certain parcels of land, Broadkill 100, Sussex County, containing 1.17 acres.
Working out air. Gentlemen, you've heard the...
Make a motion to approve CU 1648 with...
Change of condition.
How many conditions we got? Seven conditions? And change the 32 square feet to what's allowed in a B1.
Motion, Mr. Dukes, second by...
I'll second it.
No, you made the motion.
Second.
I think he's back. Okay. Second by Mr. Phillips to approve conditional use number 1648, that of Terry L. Martin, with seven conditions. And the change,
Oliver said it's my motion.
One amendment of the signage from 32 square feet to allow what's in the B1 district. Questions? State your reasons for voting, gentlemen. Mr. Cole.
Yes, and I think with the reasons, conditions that have been imposed, it'll be appropriate land use.
Mr. Phillips.
Based on the record recommendation, planning and zoning, I vote yes.
Mr. Jones.
My vote is yes. Also, with the seven conditions A through G, with planning and zoning's decision, and I think we're going to only compliance.
Mr. Dukes?
Based on the recommendation of planning, zoning, and with the conditions, my vote would be yes.
My vote would be yes. The seven conditions modified number one would be one signage. Motion passed. Thank you.
All right.
Any further business for council?
Nope.
Where's Kramer when you need him? Where's Kramer when you need him? I'm making a motion to adjourn.
Motion, Mr. Duke, second by Mr. Cole to adjourn at 1450 hours. Questions? All signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Same sign.